Would you pray with me? Lord God, thanks for this day. Thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who says that we are loved, who proved it with his own life. Thanks for these songs, for the music, for scripture, for worship, for friends, for the body of Christ, for the table, for all your good gifts to us. Teach us who we are, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this week, I was driving, I think it was to church, and I had my oldest grandson, Alex, in the car with me, and I was doing my best to encourage his knowledge of music and playing my favorite worship band, Led Zeppelin. And he kind of looked at me like, oh, that's that old stuff. And put on his headphones and went back to doing whatever he was doing. I'm like, all right. So I knew I'd be speaking about this song called You Say by Lauren Daigle. So I put that on and cranked it up a little bit. And all of a sudden, the headphones came off. And he looked at me like, oh, all right, now we're with the program. But then I watched his lips, and he knew every word. And he was singing it. And I thought, okay, this is an important song. Because I want him to know the words of that song really more than I want him to know Led Zeppelin or anything else. I want him to know what these words have to say, that he is loved. So we're going to talk about this song, You Say, by Lauren Daigle. She is a contemporary Christian artist, and I did some research on the background to this song. You can do it. Search for the YouTube video. It's about 2 or 3 minutes long, and she talks about the background of the song. But she says this: it was the day after my very first Dove Awards, and I remember being completely overwhelmed. I walked into the studio, and Paul and Jason, my producers, were in there, and they're like, all right, what's going on in your world? How's it been? I just remember feeling like so much had happened the night before, wondering, how do I come back down to normal? How do I come back down to reality? And I started realizing these patterns of really high highs. And then, okay, now there's a low in my life, these patterns. And they involve expectation, that space that can just leave you kind of questioning your identity. Where do I fit in? Where's my security? Where's my footing? Little did she know that this song, which was written after her first Dove Award song, this song You Say, little did she know that it would itself propel her to heights of success, more awards, movie opportunities, performance opportunities, crossover from the Christian charts to a wider platform, and along with it, it would bring the critics, the Bible thumpers, and the doctrinal police, and a few internet haters along the way. This song, You Say, spent 44 weeks in its category on the Billboard 100, breaking Something in the Water by Carrie Underwood, record her record for the longest reign of any solo artist in that chart's history. The song, You Say, was a huge Christian radio success, peaking at number one on multiple different charts, including the Christian Adult Contemporary radio chart. Then it was released to mainstream radio on January 15th, 2019, by Warner Brothers. From there, it reached the Adult Top 40, Adult Contemporary, and Mainstream Top 40 charts. That there are people all around the world singing this deeply embedded theology that God says we are loved and we are held, whether they know who that God is or not, I think is a really powerful witness. Lauren said this a little bit later on after the song came out: I knew this would be a song of my identity. You say I am loved, that's the truth. As for the album, Daigle says, I want this to be such a record of joy, such a record of hope, that people experience a childlikeness again. In the time of making this record, I had to remember who I was as a child. Who did God say I am? I want people to reflect on the innocence of that childhood. How do I see myself through those eyes again? How do I love myself like that again? Where's that joy? Where's that hope? And it reminded me of a story in the Gospels of Jesus. He's walking along and teaching, and a lot of people bring their children to him and say, would you bless our children? And he's blessing the children, and the disciples decide that he shouldn't be occupied with such trivial matters because he's got adult ministry to do. So they try to shoo the people away, and the Gospels say that Jesus got angrier there than anywhere else. He got so angry, he said, don't you dare stop them from bringing their children. Unless all of you adults become like little children, you will never see the kingdom of God. You'll never understand what God is up to. So I think she's right. that we come into this world with a sense of identity, a sense of love, that we are created by the Creator. But then we grow. And the world does what it does. It takes its dings at us, and we take a few hits, and we take a few speed bumps along the way, a few setbacks, and pretty soon we're not believing that so much anymore. And we're starting to believe other messages, other tapes, other voices in our head that say, you're really not all that. Think about some of the lyrics of her song. You say I'm loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I'm strong when I think I'm weak. You see I'm held when I'm falling short. When I don't belong, oh, you say that I am yours. And then she makes this move, and I believe. Oh, I believe. I believe. Now the only thing that matters is everything you think of me. In you I find my worth. In you I find my identity. That's a really powerful and deep song. The words are simple to understand, but the issue that it's getting at, this issue of who am I? Who are you? And what is my deepest sense of the answer to that question? What is my identity? According to Lauren Daigle, and according to the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, the first and very most truth, most important truth that we all need to assimilate and take in is this truth, and that is that you and I are created by God for His glory and for our blessing. We are created for His glory, for our blessing, and for our own holiness. That's why God made us. That's His purpose. We are the celebration at the very heart of the triune God. We are not a footnote, not an accident, not random, and not an afterthought. That's powerful, friends. That's amazing. You're not going to hear that anywhere else, but in the center of the community gathered around the table at the foot of the cross, preaching the scriptures. And that's what a sacred soundtrack is all about, starting with the truth that God has made each and every one of us sitting in this room. You will never lock eyes with another human being that God has not chosen as His own. What the scripture says. Just to make sure you understand that I'm not just making this stuff up, here's what the Apostle Paul says in his letter to the church at Ephesus. In the first chapter, Paul says, I long before he laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in mind. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving. Let me reiterate that. Long before he laid down the earth's foundations. That means before he designed the entire universe, he had you and I in mind. And God said, well, I have them in mind. I better create a world in which they can live. That's the order of creation according to the Bible. That God had you and you and you and you and you and every person in this room and me in mind, in detail. Scripture says he knows every hair on my head. That's crazy. That's wonderful. That God had designs on us. And it says he wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving. That to me sounds like the Trinity is having a party. That's not me making stuff up. That means Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are high-fiving going, let's celebrate our creation. Whoa, look. Yes. That's amazing. Theologians call this the upper story, the deep soundtrack that runs from Genesis to Revelation, that runs through all history, runs through everything that's deep and true. This is the deepest of them, that you and I are created by God. Philosophers say this is an axiomatic truth. That means it's the foundation of all others. It's true whether I think it's true or not. It's always there foundationally in my life. You and I are created by God. That means I am contingent. God is self-existent. And out of his own self-existence, he said, you know, I think I'm going to make Glenn. You may question his decision that day, but I don't. Because God's opinion is better than yours. Just saying. Bible says it, friends. It's right there. But think about this. My very existence I owe to something, someone beyond me. How many of you chose to be born? No one. I mean, you chose to be here. You chose to wear what you're wearing. You've made choices about relationships and career and work and school and all that wonderful stuff that follows after someone else's choice to bring you into the world. That's foundational, axiomatic. It's true that God created you and I. That means that my identity is dependent on the character of the creator of the universe. It's not dependent on how I think, how I feel, and what I believe. It's not dependent, like Lauren Daigle says, on my ups and my downs, on the voices in my head. It's not. It's not dependent on what my family may or may not say. It's not dependent on my friends or my enemies, and it's certainly not dependent on what the internet haters say. It is dependent on the character of Almighty God. Yeah, that's a good truth to rock your world. Let that soak in to the center of who you are. We're going to sing a song to finish this service. It's a great favorite hymn, and it goes like this. Oh, Lord my God, when I, in awesome wonder, consider all the worlds your hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Your power throughout the universe is displayed. Whenever I go diving, I'm reminded of that, that I'm in this body of water that covers 70% of the planet, that only 99% of human beings won't see. I'm in the center of this powerful ocean. It's wild and free and beautiful and deep, and I'm just one tiny little speck. And every time I go diving, I say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, when I get to the bottom. And I am reminded that I'm just one small speck, but oh, I'm an important speck because God had me in mind before he ever designed the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean or any of the bodies of water that you've come to love in creation. That rocks my world. But the song keeps on going. It says, and when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on a cross my burdens gladly bearing, he bled. He died to take away my sin. That the Creator God moves towards me. He doesn't just stay lofty up in his holy heaven. He moves towards me and towards you. You want absolute truth? You want absolute firm, lock it down, cement-like truth? There it is. You are here because the Creator so willed it and brought you into existence despite your protest to the contrary. That's truth, friends. That's the center of who we are. The Creator wants you to be here. That's cool. It's a big truth. It's an upper story truth, but it needs to break into my reality, because if it's true, it changes everything else. It changes all the rest of how I come to my identity as well. It sets me free from all the false identities, all the labels and the soundtrack that sometimes distorts my thinking about who I am. One day, there were a group of religious leaders, smart guys, who came along and they challenged Jesus and they said, hey, wait a second. We are card-carrying children of Abraham. We have the lineage that goes back thousands of years. And by the way, we're the leaders of the party. By the way, we're smart. We're pastors. And Jesus challenged them. He said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my followers. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins becomes its slave. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a daughter or a son belongs to the family forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You see, I can believe that God is my creator, but then I believe all those other voices and I start living in ways, well, that damage me, damage you, damage God's creation. That's called sin. And I need to be freed from it. The songs we sing talk about breaking the chains. Lauren Daigle knows that we need that reminder. I want to be free from fear, frustration, and failure. I want to be free, like Jesus said, for glorious living. I want to be free to play my part in his purpose for this universe. I want to be free, not a little free, but abundantly free. Again, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, says this: because of the sacrifice of the Messiah Jesus, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we are a free people, free of penalties, free of punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free, abundantly free. The Word of God, that's powerful to me, friends, that I need to be free. Because let's face it, I can walk out of here and say, okay, I'm created, but there's all those tapes that play. I've been on this planet 61 years, and let's just say there's lots of recordings that want to push that truth out, that want to remind me, yeah, you're not so much. You're not all that good. Remember when you... And then fill in the blanks. I was reminded of how easily I can get knocked off track from what God says about me. Just this last week, doing some spring cleaning. Now, you'll give me a little bit of grace if I start my spring cleaning close to June. I mean, like, when did spring really begin this year? I'm pretty sure it's begun now. We're all hoping. And I'm going through a box, and it had some memorabilia in it. How many of you have ever discovered a box in your house? You go, oh, that's where that stuff is. Only this had memorabilia going back, like, years, like, decades. Like, to 1980, like, to 1973. Really cool stuff. So here's one of the coolest ones. Certificate of Achievement. This is to certify that Glenn Wagner has dived the reef surrounding the fabulous Florida Keys aboard the Holiday Isle dive boat, Key Colony Beach, Florida. And he is night dive qualified on August 23rd, 1973. Yes! Love that! I can close my eyes and remember jumping off that boat for the first time into the pure black ocean at night going, whoa! It was amazing. There was some other stuff in there. A calendar from 1980. Serious. A letter from my Swedish cousin who used to come over every year. This is from 1973. It was kind of fun to read what he wrote to me since he passed away 3 weeks ago. But there was some other stuff in there. There was this jar of shoe cream. I'm like, I wonder if the shoe cream is still good from 1980. And I'm like, yeah, it's still moist. Cool, because I got a couple of pairs of shoes that did not make it so well through the winter. They've got that ring of white around them from the salt that we just got rid of about a week ago. And I'm thinking, okay, they need some polish. I got some stuff to do tomorrow. This was last Friday. So I put it on a shelf in my bathroom. Next morning, wake up, and I forgot about the shoe shine. But I did not forget to put product in my hair. You see, I had put it next to this other jar. I mean, come on, they are a little bit similar. And the consistency is the same. And it was like 5:30 in the morning. Come on. And I put product in my hair sometimes because my wife says I look cute when I do, which is her way of saying, and you look a little younger. And as you grow, you need some of these things from your wife. So instead of hair paste, I put shoe polish in. Only I didn't realize it till I'm in the car headed out for appointments. I'm like, oh no, I put shoe polish on my head. And I had appointments. I had to go meet with a client that afternoon. And Friday morning, I had my performance review here. I had to go meet with Pastor Gary. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. Okay, so here's a little thing. Pastor Gary doesn't know this yet, so that when you see him on the way out, just say, hey, Pastor Gary, how did Pastor Glenn's performance review go? How did he look? And then just leave. Just see what that does. I'll hear about it later. But all day long, it threw off my game. All day long, I was thinking about this and how dumb I was. How stupid are you, Glenn? You can't even make the distinction between hair product and shoe polish. What's the matter with you? And it played all these tapes that started being recorded when I was 5 years old. And every teacher, every year, would sit down with my parents and say, if Glenn would just focus, if he was more disciplined and more organized, he could be somebody. But if he doesn't get his act together, he'll never amount to much. And those tapes are buried deep. And I tend to forget what God says about me. What are your shoe polish moments that remind you of all the stuff? Friends, I want to be free. Jesus came along and he freed people. There was a woman one day caught in adultery. And first he stopped all the guys and he said, let whoever's without sin pick up the first stone. Of course, none of them could do that, so they all left. Then he turned to her and said, woman, where are your accusers? She said, Lord, they are gone. He said, you're right, they're gone. Now go and sin no more. He released people. He freed people into this love and this grace. Nicodemus, one of the most powerful men in all of Israel, is sitting on the Supreme Court of Israel, wealthy and powerful, but didn't want to be caught hanging out with Jesus because you might be called a Jesus freak. So John's gospel says he sees him at night. And Jesus says, Nicodemus, you're so learned, but you need to get back to your true identity. You need to be reborn, my brother, so that you can see what God is doing in the world. To the woman at the well who had had five husbands and she was living a life filled with shame, so much so that she came at noon at the hottest point of the day when no one else would come because of the whispers. Have you ever had somebody whisper about you? Have you ever whispered about somebody else? That's a tough place to be. And Jesus met her and said, I know you've had five men, and the one you're with now isn't your husband. But if you knew who I was, that I have living water, and it's going to cleanse you of all those labels that you've been wearing, so you can go back to your village and live a glorious life. If you knew who you were locking eyes with, it would change everything. And then Peter, that last week of Jesus' life, Jesus says, you are going to deny me three times. Oh, no, I'm not, Lord. Yes, you are. Before the rooster crows, dude, you are going to do it. Sure enough, Peter denies him three times. Rooster crows, boom. Peter realizes what he's done and he runs north to Galilee. What? To go back to his old job, which is familiar. I know how to fish, except that Jesus rises on that Sunday and goes after him. Shows up on the beach to create breakfast. His disciples go, whoa, it's the Lord. And they meet him on the beach. And Jesus could have said, Peter, how could you? But he didn't. He said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter says, yes, yes, yes. Then Jesus says, get back in the game. You are a teacher. Go preach. Go lead my flock. Who told you that one mistake, who told you that your sin would separate you from my love and my purposes? Who said you could check out? Who said that that one thing wiped out your identity, that I've called you? And Peter got back in the game. We sang another song at the top of the service that's deeply embedded in Scripture. Scripture ripples through all the songs that we sing. It says this, I am who you say I am. Who am I that the high king would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am free at last. He has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. How would it change your life if you were really free from all that spiritual garbage? Fear of failure, fear of success. Yeah, there's a fear of success. You do something successful one time and then people want you to repeat it. And you go, whoa. Who wants to live that way? Jesus says, I can free you of all that stuff. Because if I live just on what I do, or if I live based on just on my achievements, or I live based on what people say, then I got to achieve more, I got to do more, and I'm always running around trying to please people. You know what? I serve an audience of one, and so do you. That means that there's one voice, one judge that matters. And that's cool, friends. That frees me, and it frees you too. It's a powerful thing. I also recognize this week that I am an image bearer. If you're created in God's image, you are an image bearer. You are to be the light, to be the salt, to reflect the glory of God so that people look at you and go, huh, that's an interesting way to live. What's going on in that guy's life? There's something there. And I'm grateful because I now know people watch me, not just you as a pastor, but my grandkids watch me. I was struck this week as I was reading something on Facebook that my son posted, and I thought, that's an amazing poem. And then I realized it was my granddaughter, Aria. She wrote this poem called Where I'm From. I am from books, from Legos, and the risers on the school stage. I am from the smallish white house with the undefeatable weed garden and the messy basement. I am from the prickly bushes concealing hidden rabbit holes in the front and the overgrown mint leaf we once used to make a smoothie in the back. I am from high school musicals every year and blue eyes, from Jacqueline and Jeremy and the Wagners. I am from people who love music and come from far away. I am from do your homework and leave Abigail and Max alone. I am from Christianity, from Easter egg hunting and giant Christmas parties and dinners. And I am from my very first communion. I'm from Arizona, Sweden, and Ireland, and potatoes deluxe and sushi. I am from the pa who used to be in the Navy and the uncle who died on the soccer field. I am from picture frames and photo albums in cabinets at my grandma's house and 3 marathon medals hanging in my closet. That is where I'm from. Friends, it matters, this identity thing. It oozes out of us, and it impacts the people around us. Lauren Daigle gets this. She talks about us being loved. One of the truths that we need to get at the center of our identity. We are created by God. We are created to be free, and we are cherished by God beyond measure. You are cherished by God beyond measure. Cherish is the highest form of love. It's a special, like you are unique. You're at the top. To be cherished by God means intimacy with God and his family. It means identity in Christ that cannot be hijacked, stolen, or called into question. It means attachment to the Father in Christ by the Spirit. It means friendship with Jesus and Jesus' friends. It means a community of the Spirit in which I can thrive and worship and be equipped and be fruitful. It means security in Christ that cannot be shaken. It means the status in Christ that cannot be topped. I am in Christ. Christ is at the right hand of God. You cannot get any higher than that. I don't have to try to achieve. I'm already at the top in Christ. And so are you. Here's what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up. He had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. That's powerful, friends. That's who God says you are, created, free, and cherished. But sometimes life presses in, and it pushes us to say, but does God love you now in these circumstances when you're between a rock and a hard place, when life throws those hard curveballs at you? Viktor Frankl, who after making it through the Holocaust wrote Man's Search for Meaning, said this: each situation in life represents a challenge to man and presents a problem for him to solve. The question of the meaning of life may actually be reversed. Ultimately, man should not ask what the meaning of his life is, but rather he must recognize that it is he who is being asked. Sometimes life says, what do you think the meaning of your life is? And you will respond out of your identity. So that's why this is important. So this really cool calendar came out of that box too from 1980. And in August it says, Glenn, out of the Navy. Yes. Because every month before that it said, Glenn out to sea, Glenn out to sea, Glenn out to sea, Glenn out to sea. And the Navy had said to me, hey, we want you to stay in. We want you to stay in for 6 years. They offered me a bonus of $16,000 and a bunch of schools. But there's this little ditty that goes like this. Sailors were made for ships, ships were made for sea, land is but a navigational hazard. And they said, of the next 6 years, you will spend 4 of them out to sea. And I already had a son at home, little guy, real little. And my wife was carrying our second child. And here's what my wife wrote on January 17th of that year, 1980. Felt the baby kick for the first time. And I remember saying, honey, right here, right there. That's my daughter, Melissa, the one who came to live with me a year ago because her husband passed away. The one who has four grandsons that live with me too in the chaos. Little did I know when I felt that baby kick how many kicks would come into my life because of her. And there are days when I think, how am I going to do this? How are we going to do this? This is really hard. But my identity is not bound up in whether my life goes as planned or not. My identity is bound up in his plans for me. And apparently, as part of his plans, it includes being a grandfather in proximity to my grandsons, doing what I need to do for my daughter. I played so many roles in my life: paper boy, short order cook, gas station attendant, garbage man, welder, firefighter, sailor, sales agent, executive, dive master, entrepreneur, grandfather, father, and dad. And they are all great. And I have learned something and loved all of them. But as much as I love my daughter, my kids, my grandkids, there is a love in this universe that defies explanation, that is greater than my love, and it is the love of God in Christ for you. It is crazy, relentless, and reckless love of God, and we sing about it every single week. And you need to hear it 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, to let that ripple through your soul, because you won't hear it anywhere else. It's not a generic kind of love, but it's a specific love with your name on it. It's not a whimsical love, but an intentional, moving action kind of love. It's not a stingy love, but a generous love. It's not a second place love, but a top priority love. It's a you are cherished above all creation in Christ kind of love. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind. And he settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by that love. Friends, you are cherished above all things. And if you walk out of here internalizing that you're created, that you're made for freedom, and that you are cherished by the Creator God, what's not possible? What challenge cannot be faced? What story cannot be redeemed? Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for this day. Thanks so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thanks for creating us, for calling us to freedom, for cherishing us above all things. Somehow, by the power of your Spirit, let that sink down into all of our souls and fill all of our stories so that we walk out of this place changed and transformed. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.